Well, here we are back again due to the grace of God and sustaining the voice. So he does answer prayer. Thank you, those of you behind the scenes that have organized this and that great meal. We appreciate things like that. Appreciate in the name of our Lord Jesus. Now, as we continue part two this evening on the life of Daniel, Daniel, the man of God, greatly beloved of God, looking at the life of Daniel tonight, looking at the Christ of Daniel tomorrow, Lord willing, in our closing session here. But I'd like you to start again in Daniel chapter 1, and then get your outline sheet out again, if you would. If you need one, I would imagine if you rose your hand, it would be supplied. Daniel chapter 1, please. In our last session, saw that Daniel was taken out of Israel. Israel's been defeated by Babylon, and he's now in an anti-God society that operates by power. Nebuchadnezzar having absolute power, whom he slew, he slew, whom he kept alive, whom he put down, etc. But Daniel's a man of truth, connected with the scripture, the writings of truth. And so though he's away from home, will he stand on truth or blend into the culture of his day? Something relevant for the church today. We too belong to God. We too represent the Lord Jesus, who is the truth. Well, we're in the world where there's powers that be that are ordained of God. So we're starting to see in the first six chapters of Daniel the conflict of truth and power. We saw in chapter 1, as your chart will show you, the truth of God's written ordinances were at stake, his holiness. Then the truth of God's existence. And does he speak? Does he reveal truth? And then the truth of God's written fundamentals, righteousness and morality. And we see they each came by a different means and were handled in a different means. But in all cases, Daniel and his friends stood for truth, and truth overcame power in the end. Now, just to lead us up to chapters 4, 5, and 6, let me show you the results again of those three times truth were stood for. We're told that if we stand for truth, it'll hurt the testimony, it'll turn people off, the unsaved won't be as attracted. The whisper today is if you give in on truth a bit and adapt to the times, you'll accomplish more for God. The book of Daniel will say otherwise. Men that stood for the truth and great things were accomplished for God. You see at the end of Daniel chapter 1 here. You see here in verse 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even under the first year of King Cyrus. And so we see Daniel and his friends come to the attention of Nebuchadnezzar, this pagan king. And that's really all that happens in chapter 1. He's now aware of them. But in Daniel chapter 2, when Daniel went in and told him there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets or mysteries, when he told him that, and that what he reveals is true, go to the end of chapter 2. I can use the word evolution in a positive way, the evolution of Nebuchadnezzar's progress toward conversion. When he sees that Daniel knows the dream also by that God, look what he says in verse 47. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Of a truth, the man is starting to come into some measure of truth. He's aware not only of Daniel now, of Daniel's God. He's not Nebuchadnezzar's God yet. Your God is a God of gods and Lord of kings. Still many gods out there, but yours is the leader of them. Well, though that's darkness, that is light for Nebuchadnezzar. And he can reveal. I don't live in a closed box society. It's not just what I can figure out. There's truth beyond that can be revealed. And so Nebuchadnezzar have moved in that direction. Then in chapter 3, when Hananiah, or rather Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, would not bow down and worship another god and an idol, and the fire did not devour them. Look what Nebuchadnezzar does here in verse 29. Verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom he has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Who is that God that shall deliver you? He found out there's someone that can change the king's word. It was these men's powerful testimony of willing to give their life that caught his attention. Therefore, verse 29, therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. He understands his God again, but he's not his own God. But he is the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so they brought a witness of God, and that there's no other God like him that can deliver. So he made it a state law that you had to respect that religion, that you couldn't speak against it. Great strides of progress are being made here, not by compromising truth, but men who stood for truth, who bought the truth, and sold it not. So then now we arrive in chapter 4. And we'll see another crisis between truth and power. That will involve Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel. But this one actually leads to this pagan king's conversion. Brother Mark said earlier that Babylon's modern-day Iraq. Can't happen now, but could you imagine Saddam Hussein being converted to the Lord Jesus? Huh? The pagan king was converted to God by people who stood on truth. Well, look here at chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar is going to give his testimony here. If you look at your outline sheet, it'll be the truth of God's heavenly sovereign rule will be the issue. Is man ruler or is there somebody above man who rules through him? God's choice. The one God chooses, not our choice. That'll be the issue here. And it'll revolve around the authority sins. Nebuchadnezzar's sins and the dream will give Daniel an audience and so on. But look at Daniel chapter 4 here in verse 1. Verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs! How mighty are his wonders! His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. This is the language of a converted man. He will tell you his testimony. You'll have his gospel tract in verses 4 and on of how it happened. A man who doesn't say he's a God of gods, he's your God now. A man who will personally worship this God. He goes on to give how he had another dream, and it was a scary dream. He saw this giant tree with fruit and leaves covered the whole area, so the birds of the tree, birds found food, animals found shade from the sun. This big tree turned out to be a provider and protector of the living kind. And then one day it was cut down, but not uprooted. The roots and stump were left, cut down, and then it was watered with the dew of heaven. Then suddenly after that it grew back up. And once again, provided protection and provision. He had no idea what it meant. He knew Daniel knew interpretations from God, so he called Daniel. But in this, in verse 17, Nebuchadnezzar is given a reason why he's seeing this dream. Look at verse 17, chapter 4 and verse 17. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. The great lesson to learn here is not only God reveals, there is a God in heaven that reveals, but this God rules. He's the authority. The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Sometimes we still need to learn that lesson today. Behind the scenes, he rules, and he gives his kingdoms to anyone he wants. And sometimes we'll take the basis of men. God does have things in control. If you were allowed to vote back then, and Nebuchadnezzar way back in chapter 1 was running for office and you were allowed to vote. Huh? And Nebuchadnezzar would say, I'm anti-Semitic, as we heard. I plan to destroy the temple and make Israel my slaves. He'll never get my vote. God put the man in power. And God, for disciplinary purposes, wanted that to happen. And the living have to know that the Most High rules and gives it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over at the basis of men. But Nebuchadnezzar would have to learn that lesson the hard way. There was a power higher than him, a power in heaven that has authority and rules. Well, he tells Daniel the dream this time and so on. Daniel goes on to tell him the interpretation if you'll go to verse 24. Still in his testimony here, Daniel 4 and verse 24. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast in the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. They shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. It's a bad message for the king. You're the one that's going to be cut down. You're going to be turned into a beast-like creature until you learn the lesson that you don't rule. You're not the top authority. The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Daniel goes on to say this, verse 26. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee after thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. You will get it back. But in all your power and majesty, you're missing one great lesson, that it's really not you that has the total authority. The heavens do rule. That God rules. Now, Daniel, in giving this, is standing before absolute power, who can take his head off if he wants. This is a very negative message. But Daniel won't hold back, even though it's negative. And the king might be furious with the interpretation. And then Daniel says a little more. Verse 27. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquity by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility or peace. Yes, it's going to happen, but perhaps it doesn't have to happen right away. You need to break off your sins. You need to start doing things right. Righteousness. Show mercy to the poor. You see, Daniel gave him the negative, that there's judgment coming, and the result is your sin. Reminds me of Samuel, when he had to stand before Eli, his authority, the high priest of the tabernacle, called the temple then. And he stood before him, and you know, there was corruption in the house of God, Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And God did not give the vision to Samuel, excuse me, Eli. He gave it to Samuel. And this young boy has to go into an older man and tell him what God said. And it says he did not let any of God's words fall to the ground. He told him every whit and hid nothing. Samuel just didn't tell him the good stuff. He told him every whit. And once that happened, God began to speak to Israel again through Samuel. You know, Paul could say, excuse me, in Acts 20:27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. As my father told me, he's 93, he's failing. But he's not failing enough that every time I walk out the door, I woke him up to, for two reasons this morning, to say goodbye and to make sure he was still breathing. He is losing energy, but he's hanging in there. But he said to me, preach Christ, son. He said, if you don't preach Christ, just pack your bags and come home. But he says to me, and he says it often, he says, son, it's not so much I heard so-and-so, I listened to so-and-so. It's not so much that they said anything wrong. He says, what they didn't say. Issues that should have been addressed from the Word of God that they were in, it's what they didn't say. And that takes courage. Daniel brings the truth of God, even when it's judgment. And our gospel has a message of judgment, that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. So says Romans 1:18. Or do we just tell them Jesus can change your life and he loves you so much? Not to say there's no truth in those statements. But do we bring all the counsel of God? Daniel stands on truth, challenges the king, and says the problem is you have to learn that the Most High rules. Well, Nebuchadnezzar didn't break off his sins. He goes on to give his testimony here in verse 30. Look what the Nebuchadnezzar says, what happened to him one day, verse 30, Daniel 4. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Now, he is the fulfillment of Babylonian philosophy. He looks around at those walls, that massive capital city, Babylon, and he says here in verse 30, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power? In other words, I have built it. It was of Nebuchadnezzar. The way it got there was his dream. It was his goal. But it wasn't only of him. Look at verse 30 again. I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power. It was by him. He had the means to make it happen. It was of Nebuchadnezzar. It was by Nebuchadnezzar. And finally, in verse 30, he says, and for the honor of my majesty, is to show how great I am and to show the ability I have. It was of him and by him and for him. You do remember the Tower of Babel, don't you? The philosophy why they built that tower and city to heaven, to reach into heaven. So says as Genesis 11:4, let us make us a name. Let us. It was of man, man's idea. Make us. It was by man. They put it together. A name. It was for man to show the ability of man to survive and to bring things together. Babylonian thinking is of man. He's the source. By man, he's the means. For man, he's the reason we do it. I'm not saying there's no Christians in America. But be careful how much you say it's built on Christian principles. For one of its famous documents say a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. That philosophy's in the Bible. But what is the Christian's philosophy? What is our belief? Do we stand on something of man, whether it's salvation or the church? It's the source is man. The one who will put it together is man. And the reason is for man. Keep your hand here. We're not done in chapter 4. But go to Romans 11 just for a second, please. Romans chapter 11. To look at what we stand on, or should stand on. Right at the end of Romans 11, those chapters Brother Mark referred us to, of the eternal salvation of the nation of Israel. But here at the end of Romans chapter 11, take you right down to the end. And verse 36. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Our source, not only of salvation, but of building the church, is of God. We need to learn that. He's the source of the idea and the how. He's the means that makes it happen. It's of him, it's through him, and it's to him. It's not to point to man's greatness and ingenuity. It's to point to God's glory. God is the source. God is the means. God is the reason. Babylonian philosophy, let us make us a name. I have built Babylon by my might, for my name, and so on. So Nebuchadnezzar living in pagan philosophy, blinded here, if you will. But watch what happens as you go back to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. While that word was in his mouth, then it happened. He was turned into a beast-like creature. Rather than say at the throne, at the palace table, he's out in the pasture like an animal. Won't go into the details, but go look at verse 33. It says, the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men and to eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, something he had never done before, turned his eyes not to his throne, not to his counselors, not to my power, but to heaven. As soon as he did, look at the next phrase, and my understanding returned unto me. Maybe there's some here tonight. You've gotten away from the Lord. You're looking at philosophies and man's tradition and man's strategies for your life and for the church. You need to look back to heaven, to what God says. And your understanding will return. That's what he did. But look what he goes on to say in verse 34. Mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Not Daniel's God is a God of gods, but he's the only one. And I'm blessing him. Look what he says in verse 35. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to the will, his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. God did restore to man, and he was not a democracy, he was a monarch, by the way, and God restored him, but there was a difference now. And that difference that he learned, a lesson of life, verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. He met the God of truth, personally coming and praying and worshiping this God. On what basis led that man there? Men who stood for truth. Men who would stand in front of him and rebuke authority based on the word of God and not worry about their life. Stood on truth. And a man who finally came to a personal conversion to the God of Israel and realized that the Most High rules. Yes, God reveals. It's a wonderful thing. But God also rules. He delivers. That's true. He also rules. No, brothers and sisters, when we get to the New Testament, God does save. Jesus saves. But once you're saved, you'll find out as you read the epistles that he is the head of the church. He's the authority and the only authority of God's church. Go with me for a minute into the New Testament to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians chapter 1 for a minute. Speaking of the resurrected Christ here in Ephesians chapter 1. Get down, if you would, to verse 20. Verse 20. Ephesians 1, verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ, or worked out in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Christ did not only rise again, he ascended into heaven, and God put him at his own right hand. Now in God's government, the right hand of God is the highest position in God's kingdom God can give someone. It is what the White House is here in Washington, D.C. to America. The highest position of power. There is nothing higher that God can give other than his right hand. How high is that position? Well, verse 21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. You think of any principality, archangel, diabolical, Satan, a pro or con, fiend, foe, friend, whatever, and he's above it. King, executive, director, president, prime minister, he's above every name that is named, it says. But then it adds, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So whether it's this world or the coming world, the right hand of God is the highest position of authority God can give someone. He gave that to his son, the Lord Jesus. He must be pleased with him. Verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Head over all things to the church, not just some things. That he is the authority, the wisdom center, the director of the church of God. And as somebody has said, a body with more than one head is a monster, isn't it? Church only has one head. And you might be faithful that Christ can deliver. He's the Savior. And he's revealed truth. And he's revealed how we got here through creation. Praise God for people who are faithful to that. But have we acknowledged that the heavens do rule? That in our life and in the church of God, that there's a man on the right hand of God and he's the head of the church. It's not our wisdom or what business.